there's too many entrepreneurs, Adam, and you know this as well, like talking, what does something cost? What does it cost, right? And it's really on my heart to pivot that discussion into not what something costs, but what is the return of this investment?
Welcome to Masters of Home Service. I'm Adam Sylvester. Today, we are talking about the top five targets to track for nonstop business growth. This is a podcast made by successful home service pros for home service pros, all to make your business more profitable and more efficient. Today's guest is David Moorman, and he is the host of the Home Service Business Coach and the owner of Revive Services. Dave, welcome to the show. Tell us about you and tell us our audience like what you're up to.
Yeah, man, thanks for having me. I'm proud owner of two companies right now, the last 4 years, which has been fun. So my home service business is based just outside Vancouver. We do exterior house washing, painting, and Christmas lights and stay busy year round. We got an awesome team in place to assist me on that one. And then I started up Home Service Business Coach almost 4 years ago. We've now coached hundreds of home service CEOs to scale their business and get off the tools and build a business that can run without them. So happily married, have an 8-month-old son and golden retriever, and just enjoying the journey where we're currently at.
Bingo. Perfect. All right. So here's the deal. This is something that you're very, this topic is you're very passionate about, the top five things that we really have to track to be good business owners. What's number one?
Yeah, man, let's dive in. So the first one's just pretty simple. It's business revenue. So this is all the dollars that are going to flow into your business. So we're not talking about profit or expenses. It's just you go out and book, you know, if you're a painting contractor, you go out and book a $2,000 painting contract, and the customer agrees to pay you $2,000, $2,000 comes in. So this is a really good one to track, as we talk about in our title, nonstop business growth. It's going to be really difficult to, you know, grow your business without growing the revenue. Now, having said that, Adam, I think this is one, and you and I have had chats about this, where business owners can get a little all too consumed with what their revenue is. It's usually the one of the first questions coming at a trade show conference, right? What's your revenue? How many trucks? So it's one to be very aware of, but also not one to, I think, tattoo on your bicep, right? We're all obsessed with revenue. So that'd be our first one to really look at.
Yeah. And I think for me, it really helped me a while back knowing, okay, so if I want to do $1 million a year, that's the goal, then what is that? Well, that's $88,000 a month. And, oh, wow, that is a lot of money. Okay, what is that a week or a month? Well, a week is, okay, 20,000. Wow. So every day I need to do $4,000 a day. Then you need to factor in rain days and things that go wrong. You're like, wow, I need three or four or five people to do all that. And it helps you understand, it takes that big number and makes it small and attainable.
100%, man. And even like delineating that revenue to like the exact how many employees you're going to need. We call them technicians, right, in the home service industry. So how many techs do I need to have on my job site? How much revenue does my crew actually have to produce per day? So I think sometimes too, man, we'll say like, we want to hit $500,000 or $1 million or $2 million, but we don't actually even dive deep on like what that will provide the business owner. And that's where we've all heard that quote that revenue's for vanity and profits for sanity, because we think, oh, let's scale up and build a huge business, but we end up sacrificing a lot of our time. Maybe we're not as profitable as we were prior to the journey growth. We end up creating sometimes a business that we're a little bit estranged to. So it's just one to really monitor. Definitely want to keep growing. Even the companies that I consult, like, we don't really recommend any less of a growth rate of like 20% per year. Just you always want to keep moving forward, and some want to grow at, you know, 50, 100, 200% a year. Everyone's got different goals. So I think always pivoting it back to like what the business owner actually wants.
Yeah. And let's be real. I mean, net profit's way more important than revenue. So like you said, revenue isn't really that important in the grand scheme of things. It just sounds good when you're at the dinner party and you say, oh, we do this X amount. But here's the deal. When you're thinking about fixed expenses and overhead and things that don't change, your rent, your those apps that you use on a regular basis, all these fixed monthly expenses, that's when revenue really matters. Because if your revenue drops down to a certain level, then it doesn't, like, you have a certain amount of expenses you have to hit. And so when you're looking at, like, if you're aiming for $500,000 in revenue and you only hit like 400, that's a big difference, you know, because of those fixed expenses.
Absolutely, Adam. And also, like with planning for revenue, I recommend a lot of business owners don't plan based on like your pie in the sky goal, right? If you're coming off, say, a year where you did $300,000, let's just say, for you to say like, let's hit a million, that's great. But you know, if you're not going to be like 100% certain to get there, it might be better to build your revenue plan on something a little bit more conservative, just exactly to your point, so that we don't end up holding the bag with all these fixed overhead. And to go like a little bit deeper too, man, like we did this exercise a couple years ago in my company, and we saw like to the dollar, we were $17,000 a month of just fixed overhead costs, from rent to, you know, I keep my office manager and ops manager on a salary year round, our tech stack, like you mentioned, dues and subscriptions, a few other things like that, right? Where if we don't even go out and do one job, we have to come up with that 17,000. So you really want to figure out as a business owner, like, what is that monthly burn rate, we call it? And then you can more talk intelligently about where you want to see your revenue once you know that exact number.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, so as we transition to the next target, because we talked about overhead expenses and like knowing you have $17,000 burn rate, we need to know how many leads do we need to get that revenue in the first place. And so your next target is marketing ROI. Explain that a little bit.
Yep. Yeah, man. So ROI, buzzword in business, right? Return on investment. I think this is the biggest thing to first hit. Is there's too many entrepreneurs, Adam, and you know this as well, like talking, what does something cost? What does it cost, right? And it's really on my heart to pivot that discussion into not what something costs, but what is the return of this investment that I could receive? And that's how we want to think about our businesses. We want to be CEOs and we want to be high level marketers. And a lot of business owners listening, like if you're below $1 million, you're probably wearing that marketing director hat in your company. And it's something that I really enjoy and nerd out about. So we really want to be figuring out, for $1,000 put in to, you know, said marketing campaign, what's going to be my ROI that comes out of that? And traditionally, what we like to have as a high watermark, as a goal, is hitting 10 times return on our money. And a lot of people that are deep, Adam, in the paid ads universe would laugh at that and say, there's no way you can get that. You're not in my market, et cetera, et cetera. That's really the goal where we want to be. And I would have my low watermark at a 5 times return on my money, because the reality is, man, when you're growing a home service business, for you to put $1,000 in on a Facebook ad and only book $2,000 or $3,000 back, that might sound like a good return initially. But back to what we said 5 minutes ago, what about all those fixed overhead expenses? You're actually going to be losing money on a specific ad when you transition off the truck from being an owner operator. So really landing the airplane in that 5 to 10x return is like really a sweet spot to be monitoring.
Yeah. What are some of your best hacks for marketing, starting at like, you know, free up to like, you know, middle road cost? What do you think?
Yeah, man. Free is like,
free is best, right?
Oh man. I love neighborhood Facebook groups, man, is just incredible. So like, if we go out and clean Mrs. Smith's windows, she's happy. She leaves us a Google review. Great. We've got a bunch of those and that's good. I would be almost more interested in Mrs. Smith asking her, saying, do you belong to any sort of a local neighborhood Facebook group? Oh yeah. You know, we're in the families of fill in the blank Heights neighborhood. A lot of affluent neighborhoods will have these neighborhood groups. To ask Mrs. Smith to put a picture of your business card and just give us a shout out in that group, man, is that gold? Cause I know you've got that for your business. We do that for ours. Like, that is free marketing. This works as well on Nextdoor, a great place to get your business bumping and get some eyes on the brand. So that would be one practical, like, let's not spend a dime here and let's think a little bit outside the box. That would be a completely free marketing method that we've seen work really well.
Yeah. One thing that I didn't think worked until I tried it, then it worked, was yard signs and bandit signs and putting a yard sign at a stop sign at the exit of a neighborhood that you're in all the time. Like hundreds of people will drive by that yard sign in a day and see that. And so that costs a little bit of money, not that much. And so I love your tips on Facebook market, Facebook groups. Great. Nextdoor. Awesome. Yard signs. And give us one more. One more.
Man, I'm going to go with yours, piggyback on the signs. And so if anyone goes on a website called Vistaprint, right, you can search for what's called these Signicade signs. They're these big plastic, a little bit heavy. They're about $300 each. We get our graphic designer to do up a really nice sign that says, you know, pressure washing in progress. We've got a QR code to get an estimate, list our services. It's branded really nice. Even as like our mascot, we nicknamed Kenny Clean It, good looking mascot we got right on the sign. So we have those out on every job that we're on, man. One, it shows all the neighbors like who we are and what we're doing. Two, we get people walking by with a dog or their kid, take a picture of the QR code. That's like a $300 hack that, you know, we've seen our members just get phenomenal returns on. So that'd be another one to kind of go off your signs as well. Cause there's like, it's kind of a pyramid, right? There's all this free marketing. Then I really like this like low cost bootstrap marketing where signs would fall in. And then you get higher up where you're looking at, you know, paid and throwing 4K to wrap the vehicles and a little more like big boy, big girl marketing techniques. But those would be like two kind of lower level pyramids that works really good.
How do we track that going from Mark, just knowing how much conversion we're getting from these yard signs and whatever. So conversion ratio is number three. Talk to us about conversion ratio.
Yeah, a couple things here, man. For us, for our business, we just use a really simple marketing ROI tracker. I actually built it out just on Excel myself. I'm a bit of a nerd that way. So I categorized all our columns where we put in, you know, signs, Google ads, Facebook ads, whatever we're doing. Then I put in the next column what we spent, and then we put in what we booked. And then the last column will spit out our return on investment. So like pretty simple to have built. But the big conversion one you want to be watching too is in your marketing department. Yeah, but it's actually more in your sales department, because we can get hundreds and hundreds of leads. And I've seen companies like this, but man, they can't close like if their life depended on it for whatever reason. But typically that conversion rate on leads, what we've seen work really well, is anywhere in that 40 to 60% range is like a sweet spot. Because you've seen companies too, man, they beat their chest and say they can book, you know, 80% of their jobs. But when you actually dive into the data, exactly, man, you're just like, man, this person's doing what should be a $1,500 job. They're running around town doing it for $600. So they're just like, they race to the bottom.
It's easy to give away work. It's easy to have a high conversion.
Exactly. So like that's typically the case with someone converting really high. And then there's also a number of companies that tend to be an overly analytical business owner that does know their numbers and actually like will price beyond like what their market can actually handle, where, because you want to be in like a sweet spot with pricing. And of course you can charge a premium, but when you start charging, I've seen 2, 3, 4 times what competitors are charging, that conversion rate's not really going to bump over that 20% mark. So it's typically like, it comes down to gross profit dollars, and you want to be booking 4 to 6 of the 10 estimates that you're doing.
Yeah. And I think it's worth mentioning price also a little bit depends on how much work you have. You know, if you're slammed, then you can raise your prices. If you're not slammed, I get that. You might have to go on the lower side of your pricing, maybe 3.5x your labor rate than just 4 or 4.5. So I think conversion rate is where a lot of people miss the boat. I know I was missing the boat for a long time on this. And we just had leads flowing out the wazoo during COVID and post COVID. It was like the best time to be in business ever. And so, especially for our listeners who started their business in the last 4 years, they were born in like the best time of economy ever. And so as the lead, as we come off that high and the leads start to not dry up, but just return back to normal, your conversion rate, you need to squeeze the juice, all the juice out of every orange you get. Before, we could just squeeze a little bit and then just throw it away and get a new orange and squeeze it. But now we have to squeeze it all. Don't you agree with that?
100%, man. And like transparently, we got like pretty lazy through the pandemic, similar boat to you, like hundreds of leads coming in. We ended up building out a really tight virtual estimating model, which did serve its purpose. This is the first year in business, 7 years I've had my cleaning business. We're going 100% now in-person sales model. We're actually selling a membership program now in person, and we're not quoting anything virtually. So it's my hypothesis that will increase our conversion rate, which typically hovers around 45% or so for our business, and will also lead to a higher average job size. Because again, it's not just the percent that converts, it's what percent converts on what price point, because we want to maximize those gross profit dollars. And for everyone listening, all gross profit is just revenue. You pay your crew to do the work and pay the materials, you're left with a gross profit margin. So you really want to make sure that's maximized so that you can afford your overhead and you can make what Adam mentioned a few minutes ago, that really sweet net profit for your business as well.
Yeah, totally. And I think for a lot of our listeners, you hit it well. I think a lot of our listeners need to return back to a much more often in-person bidding model, where you go meet Mrs. Jones and you sell her your services. Usually that will get your average ticket up anyways. Now, I think there's an exception. I think someone who is doing like really high volume, low average ticket, yep, like lawn mowing, for example, maybe weed control, I'm in gutters. That's kind of in the middle road. Now here's the thing. If you have time, go see everyone. But if you don't have time, then the lowest tier, then you can bid over the phone and stuff. You just have to be really good at it. You have to really, really warm on the phone. You have to build the rapport and the trust to get that conversion rate up. Because here's the thing, you can't get by with like a low 40% and below conversion rate. You just have to be higher than that.
Yep. Yeah, man, that's a great point to mention too. Like, of course, you know, I've got a buddy who runs a painting contracting business and he fights me on this. He does all his estimates virtual and books jobs. Wow. I'm not saying it doesn't work. I just think you're probably leaving low hanging fruit on the table. We got up our ticket size last year to $907 on a virtual consulting model, which worked well, but it's my hypothesis going in person, selling roof cleaning, house washing, windows, gutters, we can actually drive that up to about $1,500 is my hope this year, just selling in person. And the other thing I think a lot of us don't talk about, man, is the in-person, you get a chance to build rapport and you also get a chance to diagnose crazy customers and also just see if there's any potential production issues, right? How many of us have booked a job over the phone and the crew turns up and we're like, man, we actually don't have a 40-foot ladder, or the house drops off, or like all these situations, right? So we're planning this year to front load our process a bit more and slow down a little bit in the sales process to increase conversion and capture those other benefits as well.
Dave, this is a great conversation. I do want to pause for a minute to talk about why we like Jobber so much. Dave, tell the listeners what your team likes about Jobber so much.
Yeah, Adam, our team absolutely loves the tipping feature that Jobber has. We have it turned on and we diagnosed our business last year and it added about a $2 per hour increase on our technicians' pay per hour just from doing a great job creating happy customers, and the clients were able to tip them for stellar service. So I'd have to note that one as a top highlight for our team members.
Gosh, so true. Our technicians, as you know, make hundreds and hundreds of dollars more a month just because of tips. It's free money. I would say for us, a lot of our technicians are used to getting at work in the morning and the boss texts them, hey, go to this job site and here's the address. It's so unorganized. And with Jobber, they pull it up. It's route optimized. There's instructions, there's photos, there's all this thing, and it's organized and it's stress-free, and it's legitimate. It's a way to run a legitimate business, which they really like. Our listeners need to try Jobber too. New users can get an exclusive discount by going to jobber.com/podcastdeal. Start today. Stop running your business on paper. Start running it on Jobber. I think you said in the beginning, you guys got a little lazy. I think everyone got a little lazy during the weird time. And so I think now it's just time to get back to the basics. How do we sell jobs? By being human beings and talking with our clients, preferably at their home. And here's the thing. I don't think we should stop at the in-home sales presentation, if you will. I think your team, the people who are fulfilling the job, your in-field staff, I think they can continue the upselling, the sales process. Hey, Mr. Jones, I see that you didn't go with the power washing your sidewalk. Any reason? Well, it's just a little bit expensive. Well, if we do it today, we're here. Well, okay, let's do it. You know, suddenly now it's 1800 instead of 15. And so I think our listeners need to realize that sales never stops, always be closing. Yeah. And your people, if you empower them, they can sell too. It's not, you're not the only one who can sell on this planet.
Yeah, man. And I think we've grown up thinking that sales is a repulsive bad word, right? When really sales is just providing a solution for somebody who has a problem. So exactly what you said, if you can kind of inject your team with this like passion and spirit of service and like creating solutions from problems, that's a great way that you can even add some incentive-based pay to their role, helping, you know, your whole business grow the sales department. So, you know, it's just something too, man. I think a lot of us did not have to focus on marketing for a couple years. And now there's a lot of companies across Canada and US, particularly where we work. And it's like, they are struggling for leads now and they've kind of got away from building that marketing engine. And so this is probably like a really key topic that a lot of listeners will get value from it. If anything, just injecting them with some passion to be like, man, in my 40-hour work week, probably at least 10 to 15 of those hours I actually need to invest as the marketing director of my ABC company.
Yeah. Yeah. And our listeners, we need to be calling clients that we did last year. We need to be calling them and say, hey, it's been a year. Last March, we clean your gutters, we power wash your house, we cut your grass, we did all this stuff for your home.
Yeah.
It's time to renew, or it's time to do something. Like this, let's get you back on the schedule. We didn't have to do that for years. And now I think our listeners, me included, you, we need to hustle more. We need to get out there. Yeah. We need to put flyers around the homes that we service, because that's how we get, that's the old school way of doing it. You know, it's like, it's not enough to just have a website. We need to go out and be a little more proactive and more active and not passive. I would categorize this category as like being active marketers and not just passive marketers anymore.
I love that, man. And also, I know we chatted too, man, but like Jobber's new rollout on the whole marketing campaign for emails, like I've been really impressed with ours that went out. We're already at close to a 30% open rate. And these were all, you know, clients that had not hit our schedule in the last 12 months. So like pretty kind of a cold list that we were able to reel a bunch back, send estimates to, and book some jobs. So like, it doesn't need to be complicated what we're saying either. Like these tools are right at our fingertips.
Yeah, totally. 100%. Okay. So the five targets a track. Number four is average job size. This is a really important one. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, man. We call it AJS, average job size. So what I really figured out, what kind of business I had a few years back, was really we're in the business of packaging up our services. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, all our services, and we want to build out ideally a $2,000 revenue day for each truck. Now, really, I'll just say really hard we found to get to 2K with just windows and gutters. So you got to have a house wash or a roof cleaner, a pressure wash job in there into the mix. But what we started doing in our sales process was actually packaging up, you know, a roof wash with a house wash. Let's say that ticket gets to, you know, let's say $2,400, let's just say, we would give that customer 10% off if they're able to package both and do both on the same day, because then we can end up with a, you know, a $2,100 day, which would be even above where we need to be. So this is a metric that successful companies will measure and that will improve over time if you're doing an effective job of packaging up your services and also ensuring that your price point stays relevant in the market that you're operating in. A less successful business may see 2023, 2024, 2025, that their average ticket stays at, let's just say, Adam, $300 every single year. That's showing me that there's not much innovation in the sales department for packaging. And also probably the world's cost of living has accelerated past your business and you're still quoting a price book back from, you know, 3 years ago. So this is like a super important one. I think we don't talk enough about, and it's not that difficult, I think, to shoot up the AJS at least 20% every single year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think average job size for our listeners is really relevant when you're calculating your labor spend. And so if you're aiming for, let's say, 5X of your labor rate. So if you pay one of your infield staff $20 an hour, you really need to be getting about $100 an hour for them, you know, or more. But that's kind of the minimum. I would say 4 is the minimum, 4X is the minimum. But let's say 5. Well, then that helps you determine, because you can't create your average job size, obviously, because that's an average of all your jobs. But if your average job size is like $900, then for me, that means every time that I think a job is going to be less than 900, that's a red flag. Like, well, this is going to bring my average down. Is this really priced correctly, or am I underbid? Anytime there's a price for a client that's lower than your average, you might have a problem. just by definition. Does that help you at all?
Oh yeah, 100%. Like, you want to know as a business owner where your sweet spot of jobs are, right? For us, two really common ones is like $1,200 to $1,500 roof clean and like a $700 to $1,000 house wash. Like, those are two categories where we're like pretty solid in the neighborhoods we work in, that those are sweet packages to bundle up and give that 10% discount. We also do a 15% off discount, Adam, when they add a third service. So that's where your point of, hey, Mrs. Smith, do you want to add in the driveway? You know, it's $500. If you throw it on this package, we'll take 15% off the whole thing. So again, the overall strategy is just getting us in that ballpark of a $2,000 day so that I know my crew can do it in a full day. And the beautiful thing, man, in a route-driven business, if I have to move my truck one time versus six times, I'm going to take that one time truck move. So it's like more value for the customer. And also, I know there's significant savings for the business that you're not driving all around town for $200 jobs.
Totally. And part of the reason that average job size is so important in terms of a target to track is it helps you understand how much revenue can we do this year. If we want to do $500,000 this year, then how many average job sized jobs do we need? Oh, wow, that's 3,000. That's 500 a month. Well, that's a lot of jobs. And you're like, it all just becomes so clear instead of being like, yeah, we're just going to do a bunch of work this year. Well, if you have a plan and your plan has to include average job size, because then you know, okay, I need to hit 30 jobs a week for 50 weeks out of the year in order to hit our revenue. And that's like, okay, well, how many leads is that? Okay, leads cost me, that's, you know, and you can work your way backwards versus just kind of hoping that you hit it.
Yeah, man. And we all know the best clients to work for are ones that don't nickel and dime you down from your sweet $900 job that gets you down to $600, $500, $400. Like, they end up being a massive pain in the butt when it comes time to producing the job. So like, naturally your premium price point will attract your ideal customer avatar. And we're programming our team all the time that, look, if we have 10 houses in our market, only 2 to 3 are really our ideal customer avatars for Revive. Like, the other 7, we wish them well, but we're not going to be we can't be a hero to that type of customer. So we really need to learn who we exist in business to serve.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. All right. Number 5, target to track is reviews, 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 reviews. Let's talk about that some.
Yeah, man, this is a huge one. No secret ninja sauce on like hacking this one together, other than I think as a business owner, you would do your business a disservice if you were not regularly reading your Google reviews. And even so much as like the words that your customers are saying, for us, it's like friendly, professional, on time. Those would be words that we could feed right back into our marketing department to go and attract more ideal customer avatars. So a really easy way to go on is just take at present point how many reviews you currently have today and scroll on your GMB, go back a year ago and see how many came in the last year. Let's just say you do that exercise after this episode and you see that you got, you know, 45 Google reviews last year. Awesome. What if we crank that up this year and we shoot for 75, right? And you take that forward to your team and you say, look, we're at 111 Google reviews. I think we can get this thing up to 200 or 300 Google reviews by the end of the year and have some fun with it too, man. Like, we've told our team before, hey, we want to get X number of Google reviews. And if we hit that, then this will be the reward for everybody. Because as a business owner, there is intrinsic value in your GMB and owning a GMB profile that has 500, 700, 1,000 plus reviews. That's all goodwill on your brand. And so you want to make sure like we're getting revenue, we're converting jobs, great, but like, are the customers happy? Because really that's like your best form of business growth is just creating the happy raving fans.
Yeah, it's funny that you said friendly, professional, and because that's exactly what I tell our CSR when we're booking over the phone, if it's over the phone, we'll say, and you're going to love our technicians because they're friendly, they're professional, and they know what they're doing. We have found that those are the three things that people care about the most. They friendliness, they want to be professionalism, and they want competency. And so what we find in our 5-star reviews, because we give them those words the next day, you know, it's great. We loved our technicians. They were friendly. they're professional and they knew what they're doing. And they say that because we give them those words. And so we read our 5-star reviews every Monday morning at the meeting. We celebrate them. We go crazy. And we love those. And we encourages our technicians to keep getting them, because that is the lifeblood of business is reviews and reputation.
Yeah. Can I share a little ninja hack, man, what's worked for reviews? Cause I think it's like, people are always like wondering what the secret is to get a whole bunch of them.
Yeah. Let's hear it.
So, man, what we did this last year, and this is like straight out of the page of one of my coaches, Jackson Blackburn, he got this going with Mount Baker Window Cleaning, and he decided to donate the policy to us, and now we share it around. But we pay our technicians $20 for every Google review. So 2-person crew, 2 technicians, $10 and $10. Here's the kicker though, man. If they get their names mentioned, either of their names mentioned in the review, we double that. So it becomes $20, $20. So we can now cruise our GMB and see Josh was great, Conrad was great, Cody was great, whoever the technician is. And that's been a great ninja hack that's created even more of a buy-in from our team to say to their customers, if you don't mind mentioning my name in the review, makes the whole brand more authentic, more personable, and rewards our technicians along the way. So we've paid out thousands of dollars in like review commission to our team members. And it's some of the happiest money that we put on our guys' paychecks, our tech's paychecks every 2 weeks.
We do the same thing. And I think you got to put your money where the mouth, you got to put your money where your mouth is. And if you say you want 5-star reviews, a lot of them, then you got to do some things to get them. So as we wrap up, Dave, this has been great. What's the final thing that our listeners can do to make sure that they are tracking the right things? Any last thoughts on like figuring that out for them?
Yeah, I would say, man, it just comes down to time blocking for a business owner. You're busy, the phone's ringing, there's a million things going on. I would suggest that you carve out a 2 to 4 hour chunk per week in your 5-day work week that is just CEO marketing director time, where you actually spend some time pouring over these numbers, looking at your leads coming in, looking at what's booking. Because once you know that data, you can start to make some more informed decisions as a business owner. And the last thing, man, I'd say is like, don't rush this. I think a lot of us think we can build a perfectly systematized business in 90 days. Like that's just, it's not a sexy message on a podcast, but just like, don't be in such a rush to scale your business to the moon. Build something sustainable that will still be here in 10 years from now with an awesome team. So like when I tell myself that, it takes a bit of the pressure off, like this thing needs to happen, you know, grow to the moon tomorrow. It can go a little bit slower and that's okay.
Yeah. Let's build an asset. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dave, this is great. I want to summarize what we talked about in three steps here. Number one is it's time to return to in-person bidding and selling. Meet the client face-to-face, knock on their front door, walk around the house with them, sit down in their living room and go over. One, you'll sell more, your conversion rate will go up and your average job size will go up as well. Number two is work backwards and know how many leads you need along with AJS, your average job size. Like how work backwards and figure out, okay, we need 1,000 leads this year to hit X amount of revenue, and figure those metrics out and then track them each month and really stick to them. And then number three is it's time to wake up. It's no more lazy marketing, no more, you know, sitting around. It's the gravy train is over. We need to start hustling again on marketing. We need to get active again on marketing, neighborhood groups on Facebook, next door, yard signs, flyers around the homes that you're serving currently, like 5 rounds, 9 rounds. It's time to get hustling again for marketing. Any final thoughts on that, Dave?
You sum them up great, Adam. I think the only thing scarier than starting your own business is not having the gusto to go out and promote it on a daily basis. So I hope that this episode, you know, really fired up the listeners for, we don't have to make it complicated. It can be really simple to passionately promote our local businesses.
Yeah, 100%. Dave, how do people find out more about you?
Yeah, anything home service business coach on the internet. You guys can check out our website and see how we've helped a bunch of contractors grow their business. So that'd be the best place to find me.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate being here. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Listeners can find me at adamsylvester.com. I hope you found something valuable to help make your business more profitable, more efficient, and increase your leads. Your team and your customers deserve your very best. So go give it to them.